We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bouncing puck, Rusek has it over the line. Drops it off on top, wrist shot, they score! Malone, a wrister, inside the left post, by the right leg of Dawes. Emerson taking the lead. Malone puts the Emerson up 3-2.
Three straight goals in period number three, including that game winner from Sean Malone. And the series goes to the Emerks, and Rochester moves on to round number three for the first time since 2004. Marty, great day for the kids and the veterans in Rochester as they are enjoying a well-deserved day off after putting away what was the best team in the division in the regular season, the Utica Comets.
Great battle, Duffer. So, I mean, you were there. You were on the call with Don Stevens. I was following it on the radio and online and getting some clips here and there and watching the highlights. But Casey Fitzgerald makes it up 1-0. I'm thinking, great start, just to see what we've seen so many times happen, especially here in Buffalo. Utica coming back and scoring two goals within, like, what, 2 minutes, a minute and a half after. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's just crushing, right? Like taking your dreams away from you. Like, it just was a very deflating, in my opinion, kind of time. But patience and something that Seth Appert has been preaching for a long time, like, stick to your game, play the right way. It's going to come. And in the third period, I really thought overtime was looming. I thought, well, this is going to be a 2-2 game going to overtime. I know you had flashes of maybe another 4-3 overtime win, but what a gutsy effort I felt from everybody in that game. From start to finish, it was very gutsy.
I'll say it again. The problem is we only have an hour right now to discuss, and I could easily just pick every single player and contribution that we witnessed in the game. But collectively, there was zero change in their approach after those two goals in less than a minute by Utica in the first. Came to the end of the first, shots were close, score obviously was close, thought they were doing pretty much everything right. They were staying incredibly disciplined. They weren't giving up rush chances. And so that really stayed with them the entirety of the game. And when you look back at it, the two games that they won in Utica in the series, they outshot them 29-19 and last night 28-21. Those are really low shot totals against when you consider that in the first game, when they were up 2-0 and 3-2, but then got just bombarded with shots in the second and third period, which is kind of reminiscent of what we've seen in a lot of games this year where they're really badly outshot. Mm-hmm. It's a real credit to the guys. And I think we touched briefly yesterday on what the lineup might look like as far as the little tweaks that could happen. And sure enough, there were a couple, and the 11th and 12th forwards, if you will, got a different look for the first time in the series. Ben Holmstrom came back in and played his first playoff game, and Nick Boca played his first. Now, he's a swingman and has played his life as a defenseman, but played forward last night, but not very many shifts. However, in the third period, we saw the line start to change a little bit. And everything that Seth Appert and Michael Pekka did paid off. So it was, including Paterka. There were only two power plays in the game, mm-hmm. both of them for the Amherst. Paterka drew both penalties, but he wouldn't have drawn the second one if the unlikely source of Nick Boca doesn't take advantage. And it was starting to be a shift change He came in down the right side, did a perfect shot pass off the far pads. Paterka goes to put it in a half empty net, takes a slash from Tyce Thompson. 30 seconds later, power play goal. Boom. They've tied the game. So it's funny how all these little tweaks can pay off. So it really truly felt, and obviously we haven't been around Sabre playoff wins, but even just when we were on the road before, Marty, and you could at least sense what it was like for the guys in the moment of a significant and fun victory, I may have learned more about the Amerks in the hour or so after the game than I've gleaned from watching the last 2 years. You know,
I've learned a lot from the Amerks in this round. And I think, okay, they beat Belleville and everybody was nervous in the end of the season. They needed help to get in the playoffs. They needed to win their last game. And in the series against Utica, they lose game one. But game two, after day one, and I remember seeing Michael Pekka outside of the gate as JJ Paterka comes off the ice and he says, "Hey, you're one of the stars and you're going out there." And he's like, "What? Oh, yeah, you're going out there." And Paterka is out there kind of trolling the crowd a little bit after getting a star on the road. And then in game four, the Utica Comets players did the same thing after getting their stars. And the fact that you can really show personality and confidence and camaraderie and all of it. I think to me, that's what I've loved so much about this Rochester Americans group and their coaching staff and the players from top to bottom, the support guys as they come into the locker room that are waiting for them with, you know, usually you see water, but I think there may have been some alcoholic beverages in hand last night after clinching that series. But I absolutely love the personalities that are shining through from top to bottom in the organization. It's great to see.
You've told the stories of what it's like being a player and slugging your own equipment bag at the AHL level, putting it on the cart and heading out the door. You want to know who was slugging equipment bags after the win last night?
Captain Michael Mersch.
Yep.
And I mean, that's, I'm telling you, I...
Like two bags at a time down the hall. Like, just amazing.
I got lucky. So my first year in Rochester, I had some veterans like Dan Frawley, Scotty Metcalf, Craig Sharon, which we lost way too early. You know, other guys that weren't really veterans, but Scotty Nickel, guys that really demanded a lot. And they would be out there working hard after practice and working on their skills and leading by example. And I think that's important. It's important that you have that. It's important that in Buffalo, you have Kyle Oposo doing what he's doing and showing the example. And, you know, it goes, I keep telling kids the same thing, like Pee-wee, Bantam, Midget, Juniors, whatever. Picking up a rolled up piece of plastic tape in the floor in the locker room to make sure that your locker room is cleaned up after your practice or your game goes a long way. What Michael Mersch would do, even though not playing, like grabbing bags and saying, "Let's go, I'm helping out, I'm part of this team," it goes a long way. So little things like this, as you just said, I have a big smile right now just thinking that's the example that the Paterkas and the Quinns and the Krebs and the Fitzgerald and the Samuelson and everybody is getting to follow right now. What an amazing, amazing example, Duffer. Thanks for sharing that.
Did I mention yesterday a potential guy to watch, unsung hero?
Yes, you did. I want to say it wasn't R2 because R2's been hot. It wouldn't be unsung hero. I don't remember who you said, though. I'm trying to
say. He got the primary on the game winner. Lucas Rusek.
Oh, Rusek, yes. Oh, I remember too, because when I saw the clip on Twitter of the goal that made it 3-2 and you and Donnie talking about how Rusek got the puck and saw the play developing and made the great pass, I thought of you right away. I'm like, Duffer called it in the morning. You're absolutely right. great play by Lucas Rusek.
But there were a lot. And that's the thing. So Rusek, what was really noticeable was, again, the reconfiguration just ever so subtly going into this deciding game. And Rusek was given, I don't know how you pick a top line. There's three scoring lines, but he was playing with Malone and Quinn to start the game. So there's, that's pretty significant, because that was a spot occupied by Michael Mersch when the series began. And this was not in any way a demotion. It was just the coach was trying to balance kind of skill and physical presence, net front presence more than anything, as he started to roll out the lines in the third. So Rusek found himself with Holmstrom and with Boka. So they're on the ice in the shift that leads to Boka and Paterka drawing the penalty. Like, things were going really well. And then when they came out of it, the lines were ever so subtly changed again after the power play goal. So they go through the rotation, and then it's Rusek with Malone and McInnes. And that line is what fueled Malone to the game-winning goal. So that's why I said off the top, I could literally go through every guy, because I can pinpoint shifts where every single one of them had a major impact on the game. Another multi-point game for Casey Fitzgerald. It's just been so impressive to watch. Peyton Krebs gets his AHL-leading ninth playoff assist. Sean Malone, the game winner. Rusek has two assists. So he's now, as a rookie and less than 20 regular season games of experience, he's got 6 points in seven games. The Amerks rookies are 1-2-3 in playoff scoring, Paterka, Krebs, Rusek. So all of that is super encouraging. And yet at the end of it all, an area that really plagued them early. And they had one moment last night that unfortunately resulted in a strange goal against, but they were much better on faceoffs last night. And a big reason why, and not just the winning of the draw, just coverage in general. And Jankowski ends it with as long of an empty netter as you can. Like, he was literally up against the boards in the corner to the left of Arundel when he fired it all the way down for the unassisted empty netter. So just one more guy on the list of major contributors. It was an awful lot of fun for the guys last night.
And you mentioned the job that Arundel has done. He got the Savage jacket after the game.
Yeah. He was wearing his own Savage jacket. The suit he wore last night was pretty impressive.
Oh, well, good for him. But he was wearing that jacket after the game. And look, UPL gets hurt late in the season. You're looking at Arundel coming in. And, you know, this is a big moment. You're a veteran goaltender and you're getting an opportunity. And he's really making the best out of that opportunity. And he's been really good. He's been at times where they really needed him, when they were feeling a lot of pressure to get a save or two, he's been really good. So, I mean, you say what you want to say. His time in Buffalo did not work out well, and maybe it was not the right time of the season where the Sabres were not particularly playing really well in front of them.
Right.
But he's definitely had an impact in Rochester. And his leadership shines in the games and in the way that he plays.
So just quickly to go through from a Sabre prospect standpoint that people are focused on, obviously Rusek is going to be more of a talking point next year. This year was derailed due to injury, but it's just a nice little add-on right now. Brett Murray, who saw time with the Sabres, may well still get credit for the tying goal. Ruotsalainen shot it, shot pass. It went off the Utica defender, but I thought it was Murray's from the get-go. Brett thinks he might have got a piece of it. The coach thinks he might have got a piece of it. Regardless, Ruotsalainen has points in every game, but Murray was where he needed to be. We talk about Krebs' assists. He's still just a play driver as far as the energy and the forecheck and things like that, which was really good. And last but not least, there was absolutely not a single thing wrong with Jack Quinn's game last night. In fact, I thought, for the first time in the series, I was a little concerned about Jack going into this one, simply because all the stuff that hadn't been happening seemed to magnify in the last game. He had a blown tire in front of his own net, which, you know, led to a wide open opportunity for, I think it was Greer, to put it back in.
Yeah.
So it just kind of compounded not scoring. But I wasn't really worried previously because the he was getting some chances. But last night, my goodness, like, I don't know why we think this about guys sometimes, but like he was so physical like reverse shoulders and everything, like getting on the right side of the puck, like seeing the battle, jumping to the inside to get the lane and position to make a play and extend plays and stuff like that. So yeah, it was good to watch and a really good sign. So
I heard somebody say the other day, when it comes to playoffs, what the difference between playoffs and regular season is that sometimes, you know, being a difference maker in a game or in a series allows for others later to be that difference maker. And I think that's kind of like what I'm, not what I'm hoping, but what I'm seeing could happen to Jack Quinn. Like, he's played well. If it was a regular season, you'd say there's still 75 games in the season or 70 games in the season. Points are going to come, keep playing that way. But because it's the playoffs and you have a wall that is three or five games in front of you, sometimes you want to change your game. The fact that Rochester won last night and guys like Krebs are playing so well and Fitzgerald's playing so well and Malone scored and Ruotsalainen is playing so well, it's allowing Jack Quinn to now breathe again and say, okay, I got five more games to continue to play the right way and hope it comes through. And if we win those five, that series, then I got seven more, right? Like, be a difference maker today so that it opens the door for somebody to be that difference maker in the next series. I think that's important to realize.
And the next series is Laval. It starts on Sunday on the road, and the Rocket will host games one and two Sunday and Monday. You can see those on AHL TV. Amherst are back home next Wednesday for game three in this best of five. And then if necessary, it would be a Friday game four at Blue Cross Arena. And if necessary, a fifth and deciding game five back in Laval a week from this Sunday. So it'll go by quick. No question about that. And a great opportunity once again. So really looking forward
sprint.
To it.
Still a sprint. Still a sprint, as Ed Appert said. Still a sprint. Yeah.
And if they get through this, then you get into a games or a seven game conference final series and then a seven game Calder Cup final series. So, man, it's a long road, isn't it?
They're still like, they've played two rounds. Technically, they've only played one because there's a playing round. You still got to go 11 more wins, right? You need three now. You need four in the conference finals, four in the finals. So there's still 11 more wins to go. They already got five. That's, you're not even halfway there. That's the thing. Yeah. You know,
it's impressive. We're going to take a quick time out because we have a lot to get to. Obviously, you know, games from last night, games coming up tonight. Bandits have a chance to wrap up their series with Toronto in the National Lacrosse League tomorrow night in Hamilton at 7 o'clock. We'll dive in on all those as we continue the Instigators after this. Darren Dreger next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's Friday, and that means hockey insider Darren Dreger from TSN heading into a long weekend north of the border. What are your plans, Dregs?
My plans are to stay up until the wee hours this morning, tomorrow morning, I suppose, watching the Battle of Alberta. I joined the chorus of those frustrated by the start time for tonight's game two between Edmonton and Calgary. I know, first world problems, I get it, but 10:30 start time is actually 10:50 Eastern, which, I mean, you're talking about 2 a.m. I won't get home till 3 a.m., Duffer. So
I think you need to do more late night conditioning. I feel like that gets me ready for all this kind of stuff.
And how do you do that? Like, do you have like an extended afternoon nap?
No, just rarely sleep and just make it a habit to to never, ever, ever go to bed before the last game is done. So,
okay. Well, beyond that, I was going to play golf tomorrow, but the weather up here looks terrible. So I'm not doing that. And then Sunday, we're back in playoff mode again with game three. So that's what I'm doing now, this weekend.
Quickly, Dregs, because Daryl Sutter said he hates 8 o'clock starts, and it's actually going to be at 8:50 starts in Calgary when you consider, the later puck drop, whatever. I hated 8 o'clock games, and we used to have them on Friday nights in Buffalo all the time. Have players ever like raised hell about these start times, or it's like TV money, like shut up and play?
Yeah, that basically shut up and play. You know, I recall conversations years ago. I guarantee you, if you walked into the dressing room in Calgary or Edmonton, or even the early game here in the East is what, an 8 p.m., which is an 8:20-ish, 8:17 start. And you talk to the players, they would say that it upsets their routine. But yeah, it's shut up and play, because normally it's the television networks that dictate the start times for, you know, their own selfish reasons, which I can appreciate, because I've been on that side of the fence as well. I don't care about the players. I don't care about network TV. I only care about myself and the fact that I'm not going to get to bed till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. So because you're probably going to have to go take a nap this afternoon and maybe double naps today, get ready for tonight. Let's get right into it. So we now have only 8 teams left in the playoffs. So that means there's 24 teams that are probably having conversations and trying to get a leg up on, you know, trades, draft picks, free agents, and all of that. So we haven't talked to you about the Sabres in a while. So what do you think the Sabres are looking at? What's the word around when you talk to other teams, and what's happening with Kevin Adams? Probably what's his game plan?
Well, I think things are going to heat up. You know, you're right. I mean, there are conversations that are happening. I feel like it's still pretty quiet as teams are cleaning up their draft lists, and they're looking forward to the draft combine in Buffalo. And I get the sense, whether it's Kevin Adams or any other general manager, that's when things are going to heat up a little bit, at least in terms of the dialogue, the conversation about, you know, what draft picks are available as you prep for the draft. We know that the Buffalo Sabres are looking to add a defenseman. And I believe that Kevin Adams is also in the market for a good veteran forward. They like the idea of giving their young players more responsibility, because there's growth in that. But they also understand that they've got to take a pretty significant step next year. And they think that they have the pieces to do that, but they want to be careful. They want to be mindful of the development of the younger players. So they want to make sure that they insulate those young players with experience. And, you know, so I think you could see Adams be very active, you know, both defensively and adding an offensive piece, like I said, provided that it's an experienced player that still fits into the age dynamic. And what is the cost? Well, he's not going to know exactly what the costs are unless he's revisiting old conversations that he had leading up to the trade deadline. But start that process in the conversations that you're having during the week of the draft combine. So there's an appetite for Buffalo to be busy. So they're going to start again leading up to the combine.
When you talk about insulating the young players, I think it's very easy right now for Sabre fans to project a group of 13 forwards, let's say, while utilizing some of the kids who are currently in Rochester and continuing their AHL playoff push. Are you sensing that in Kevin's world right now, that they are more likely, might not be the right word, but strongly considering bringing that veteran in to delay bringing the kids into the mix? Or because the way you phrased it was more like, if all the kids are here, you're giving them, you know, a little bit more protection. But the challenge there to process is like, well, there's only so many spots to go around. So if you're bringing a couple more kids into this, how many more veterans can you bring in? So
No, I get it. And I understand. And you're right. I don't think that they're bringing in somebody to take a job away from a developing player. I think, though, it depends on where you believe the stage of development of that player is, right? You know, if that player is capable of being a top six forward right now, and you feel comfortable, Donny Granato feels comfortable based on the strides that he's seen at the NHL level, well, that's not the player that's going to get bumped. but maybe it is a developing player that you think is close to being NHL ready, but he just needs a little bit more time. Not to make the direct comparison, but I think of the Ottawa Senators when, as we talk this through, and the weight that Josh Norris had to embrace when he was healthy, Brady Tkachuk, Drake Batherson, go down the list of those young players. And the reason they didn't get closer to being in the playoff picture is because that was way too much for those young guys to handle. If they'd have had a bit more push and experience up front, maybe that allows those players to, you know, develop their game in a more time-sensitive manner. They're very good players. Ottawa is going to be a good team. But I think that that's the delicate balance, though, right, is making sure that the player that you bring in isn't going to take away the ice time that is needed for that younger player to grow, but also making sure that that younger player isn't overwhelmed. And the idea of playing meaningful games and being in that playoff mix, that's invaluable experience to those young players. Well, how do you do that? You've got to have the balance with the experience and the guys that are ready to take the team in a different direction in the future.
Right.
Earlier this week, the Vegas Golden Knights made a splash by firing Pete DeBoer. And I know you've got some... connection with the GM in Vegas. You guys go a long way back. What? You've just
what
said,
are you outing my sources now, Willie?
Well,
what
I'm not doing? Outing your sources. You keep saying on this show. I go back to you know, the Western Hockey League and our time in Saskatchewan and all of that. So anyway, but how do you feel? And I don't even know if you've talked to him or not, but how do you think Vegas is going to view this move forward? They always do things quickly. They add somebody really quickly. And, you know, Kelly McCrimmon said, I think it's going to take a while now. We're going to go through a process. So how do you think it's going to go down in Vegas?
Well, he's being tight-lipped. I will disclose that much, but only because I think he said a lot when he had his media availability after Pete DeBoer was fired, in that you're right. I mean, he acknowledged that they need to go through a process. Now, I'm going to take it forward to Barry Trotz, right? Because I believe Vegas is a team of interest in Barry Trotz. We know Kevin Cheveleyoff of the Winnipeg Jets has already met with Barry Trotz. He did that in Vegas. There were reports that Philadelphia was going to interview Barry Trotz today. That's not true. But yes, Philadelphia has reached out, has interest in Barry Trotz. And I think the Detroit Red Wings are another team that would have interest in Barry Trotz. So Vegas might be stuck in the same spot that Winnipeg and Detroit and Philadelphia and maybe Dallas. We need to find out what the direction Rick Bowness and the Dallas Stars is when it is specific to Barry Trotz. Trotz wants to take his time, so he's being respectful. He will interview for these jobs, and he will talk to the managers, and he'll get the lay of the land. But right now, it sounds like it's family first for Barry Trotz. So that might be dictating how quickly Kellen McCrimmon and the Vegas Golden Knights or any other club wants to move at this stage.
Trotz has an abundance of options, which he has earned. Yeah. If he were to go into Winnipeg, what do you think he's walking into based on their underwhelming season as a team and some of the things that I think, whether they're 100% accurate or not, seem to bubble to the surface as far as why this team hasn't achieved more over the last couple of years?
It makes sense, Duffer, that Barry Trotz, if you know, he ends up being the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets, is going to take over a team that'll look different next season than it looks right now and it looked this offseason. And, you know, we can read into what Mark Scheifele said in his end-of-year media availability. It certainly didn't sound like a player who thought that he would be back. In fairness, though, to Mark, you know, he wants to see. He wants to know who the new coach is. At that time, Dave Lowry was still the coach of the Winnipeg Jets. And I'm not going to kick sand on Dave Lowry, but if you're a player that's weary about the state of the team and the direction of the club, coach is number one, especially for a leader and an offensive leader like Mark Scheifele, right? So maybe the hiring of Barry Trotz, if that's what ends up happening, changes the mindset of Mark Scheifele, and maybe he wants to commit and dig in a little bit. You know, since he made those comments, I did poke around a little bit because there's been a lot of character flogging that has gone around outside of the organization. Well, you look at Mark Scheifele, he's got a term left on his contract and he basically asked for a trade. Well, he has not asked for a trade, at least to my knowledge, he hasn't. And then you look at the captain, Blake Wheeler. To me, he's more of an issue moving forward than Scheifele because of the contract with Blake Wheeler and where his fit is going to be on that team. We can see Blake Wheeler isn't the player he once was. So, you know, is Barry Trotz going to have a challenge in convincing Blake Wheeler that, sorry, dude, you're not a top six. You're a bottom six forward for us. And then what is Shoveldayoff going to do to make sure that the team is better on ice? I think Barry Trotz makes any team better. And I don't care who's on the ice or who isn't on the ice. I do. And I think that if Winnipeg was lucky enough to land Trotz, they would instantly get better because some of the poor play of the Winnipeg Jets' bad results are related to team defense, not the defensive core, but how they played defensively. And he would certainly help change that.
Okay, you talk about character from individuals' point of view and whatnot. I want to go in a different direction here and just have fun with you. And it, nothing to do with your insider status, but Brady Tkachuk, you mentioned him. Like Matthew said the other day, he's been on a tear since his season's been over, right? Like,
really? We can't tell. I mean,
you see him walking up the stairs, a beer in hand, two beers in the back pocket. Like, so have you ever seen, I know we had the summer of Ovi just like a few years back. That was pretty significant. But have you ever seen a player openly cheering for another team, even though it's his brother, and having that type of fun in a playoff series?
I have not, but I absolutely love it. Like the first time I saw it, I'm like, you know, I mean, it's just so in your face, right? But that's what the Tkachuk family is. That's how Keith was. And that's how Brady and Matthew are. You know, I'm sure mom kind of rolls her eyes on occasion watching the antics and the shenanigans. I came within that close of texting Pierre Dorion.
I was going to say, what about Pierre?
Because I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, I mean, look, he's the captain of the Ottawa Senators. He bleeds, literally bleeds for that organization. So there's no questioning where the allegiance of Brady Tkachuk is. It's just in this environment, in his offseason, it's family first. But the look of him wearing the Calgary Flames T-shirts and all of that and the beers tucked in his pockets. And I mean, every time you see him on camera, he's got a beer in his hand, right? So does the general manager of the Ottawa Senators really feel as good about this as we do? I'm guessing not. I didn't text him just because I was like, well, if he responds and he doesn't like it, then what? You know, I'm not going to report that. So I just left it alone. I love it. I think it's awesome.
So he bleeds red right now. He bleeds the sea of red in Calgary. Let's just put it that way.
tremendous.
The Carolina Hurricanes would tell you to pump the brakes because it's just water anyway.
Wasn't that a troll job? That was fantastic. More and more, Carolina is among the best. The Los Angeles Kings are good, but some of these social media feeds, Vegas is another one that can be really, really good. There was an interesting, speaking of Ottawa, I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't want to get caught quoting here, but it read to me like the Ottawa Senators social media team, you know, whether there's been changes in that regard, I assume there has been in that department, but it read like somebody had taken the shackles off their social media feed. So maybe Ottawa is going to be more engaging.
The Rochester Americans have a good social media team. And I'm telling you, so I know we usually talk NHL, but what about Laval Rochester in the next round? Like for two organizations that this year was, well, maybe better for Buffalo than Montreal, but to see their farm teams having that success. And then I'm looking forward to see what the social media battle between Laval and Rochester is going to be like. So are you as excited or happy as we are when we see, even at the AHL level, the social media teams getting involved like that?
Absolutely. Why not? I mean, you know, we should be collectively in the entertainment business. Like we're in the information business and social media is clearly become a huge part of that over the last decade, but why not have some fun, right? I mean, I got news for anybody who's opposed to it. It's not about us. I mean, our vintage is not what the social media groups are targeting. They're targeting, you know, people like my son, who's 20 years old, right? Because he engages and he's entertained by it. But I've got a loose enough sense of humor that I follow all of those feeds. And I might get kicked off the Instigators moving forward for saying this. I apologize in advance. But a good buddy of mine, Kelly Buchberger, is an assistant coach with Laval. So I'm cheering for Laval. I apologize.
Tell Bucky I'm glad he made it this far. And we'll be happy to see him, 9 days from now, you know, enjoying. Where is he based in the summertime? Saskatchewan?
Edmonton.
Edmonton. Okay. Back to the Kachucks for 1 minute. And this is for both of you.
Okay.
What is more likely in the future?
Here we go.
Matthew playing in Ottawa or Brady playing in Calgary or neither?
I'll answer first. And again, not inside information. I feel neither. Maybe it's St. Louis. Let's bring the St. Louis Blues into the match.
Yes. At age, whatever. Right?
Yeah.
36 or 37 for one of them. And
Well, and it's just cap related, right? Not specific to Ottawa, but certainly with Calgary. I mean, how are you going to keep all those pieces? Johnny Gaudreau's not coming by cheap this summer. So they're going to take a big bite out of that cap apple right there. And then you've got Matthew to contend with. So it's going to be the business platform in Calgary that perhaps encourages change.
Yeah, I would say neither. As my first guess, Ottawa is my second guess, because I think if the Ottawa Senators get good in like 4 years from now, it could be luring Matthew over there more than the other way around. I think Brady's the captain. He's not going to be lured to go to Calgary right now. So, but I will say neither. And also, I think it's funny because when I've cheered for my brother, don't get me wrong. I went down to Hamilton in the Calder Cup Finals and cheered for him, but very like quiet, like sitting in the stands. Then I'd go down to the locker room after, and they won that year, and I'm having champagne and beers in the locker room. It's great, but there's nobody's taking videos of it, right? So I mean, that's the difference right there. But okay, well, I guess Dregs, if you had to guess, and I asked Duffer this, and we only have a minute here. Letang, Rust, or Malkin to remain with Pittsburgh next year? Who is the most likely candidate?
Well, look, it's a tough question to answer because there's so many tentacles involved here, but I'll start with new ownership, right? And we know the history of the ownership here, new to the National Hockey League, and how they embrace the building of organizations, and they stretch their dollar as far as it can be stretched. So given where Evgeny Malkin is, given where Chris Letang is in here, I feel like Letang might be the safer investment based on the year that he had to keep in the mix. But I sure hope that they have a deep level of respect for what Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang, together have brought to the city of Pittsburgh. And it would be unfortunate, but they're a cap team as well. Brian Rust feels like the odd man out, but Ron Hextall's got a ton of work to do, and he's got an ownership group now that wants to be heavily involved.
Gregs, happy Victoria Day. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend yourselves.
We will. And we're back after this on the Instigators. Stay with us.
Games presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I got to say, I like nice hockey shirt.
Thank you. This is... just wanted to send some love to the people of Buffalo.
Now that's up by the border. Do you spend much
Toronto.
Time?
Yeah, of course. There are our neighbors to the south. I'm from Toronto, Canada. Oh. And I just today I was just thinking how much we love Buffalo, and we just want to send our love to you. That's all. That's all.
That was Mike Myers on Stephen Colbert wearing a Sabres jersey last night, and that was absolutely beautiful. And stop hate and racism, choose love. Those are the words that are most important right now. And you've probably seen the Choose Love t-shirts. They're going to be made available very soon. Bills branding, Sabres branding, Bandits branding, as we continue to help. And there's a long way to go. And Marty, you were a part of it with some tremendous alumni yesterday.
Yeah, so yesterday I was lucky to be able to go to the Buffalo Community Renaissance Center on East Ferry Street. And I was there with Pat Coletta, Rob Ray, Thurman Thomas, Bruce Smith, a bunch of Bills alumni. Mr. Pegula was there. Roger Goodell was there, the NFL commissioner. And I'll tell you about a quick interaction I had with one lady. She came over. You know, we were handing out supplies or whatever. She didn't want any supplies. She just wanted to see the love and the support from the community. She had a cousin that was one of the victims in the shooting that happened on Saturday, and that was her first day out. She had not been out of her house since Saturday. She was feeling very scared and very upset, and she had big tears in her eyes, but she decided to go on a walk and stop by where all of this was happening. And she had a big smile and tears in her eyes at the same time because she was hurting, but she felt the love of the people. And I talked to her for 5-10 minutes, and she was just an amazing person. So yeah, that was very, very, very touching. And there's millions of stories like that around Buffalo from people that know somebody. So whatever way you can help, even if it's just a hug, a quick message, or being part of the efforts that are going on around the city, it's so important.
Bandits have been a big part of it. Dane Smith has taken a tremendous leadership role, as he has consistently over time. And he and his Bandits are in Hamilton tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, looking to wrap up the best 2 of 3 in the division conference final against Toronto. And what a spectacular showing it was last Sunday in an 18-17 epic win, in which Byrne had 11 points and Dane had 10. And it was one of the craziest games you'll see. We'll see if the Bandits can take control and then advance to the final with a
on
win
ESPN
tomorrow night.
Plus, yes. For those that have ESPN Plus, I'm telling you, I watched it. It was amazing. I think it's the TSN coverage, but just amazing coverage.
Absolutely. Last night in the NHL, boy, we've set a record here. 49 minutes into the show, first time we're talking about the games in the NHL last night. But man, oh man, I'm assuming, even though the Blues deserve the marquee billing here, you would rather talk about Florida not giving themselves the opportunity to win in overtime?
Soul crushing loss with 3.9 seconds left, and especially the way it happened. I don't know. Andrew Brunette, I said yesterday, I think he's my coach of the year with what he did in Florida. Well, if I had to vote this morning, I'd say you're not even top 10, bud, because how do you have your fourth line on the ice with less than a minute left against Kucherov on the ice? And Nikita Kucherov gets a puck behind the net, looks over his shoulder. He sees Russ Colton coming in. Mackenzie Weegar leaves the front of the net. Don't know how, don't know why. I love that guy. I love the way he plays, but he made a mistake there. And the backhand no-look pass goes right to Russ Colton for the goal. Crushing, crushing defeat for Florida.
I'm going to assume that Brunette had no direct conversation with his defensemen to both end up where they ended up on the play. But yes, I understand your point about some of the personnel. Florida's power play continues to be its demise. They are 0 for 25 in the playoffs. Yes. The flip side of that is the St. Louis Blues and their power play, 34.5%, trailing only Colorado. But the Blues aren't trailing Colorado in the series, as they're even at 1 now, as David Perron continues this incredible run that started, oh, I would say over the last 25 odd games of the regular season. In fact, Marty, regular season and playoffs combined, in his last 37 games, David Perron has 25 goals. That is more than a 50 goal pace. He is ultra clutch. Yeah. And the Blues got another strong performance from Jordan Binnington, who just happens to be leading the playoffs in goals against and is right there in save percentage.
Okay, the legend of David Perron, by the way. And it all started 5 years ago when he was with the Vegas Golden Knights. Like, David Perron was a good player, but he was 30 years old with Vegas, and it started. Now he's 35 and just keeps getting better and better, which is amazing. Jordan Binnington did not have to be as good or as spectacular as he was in game one, but he had two moments in the game that stood out to me. First of all, on the 1-0 Jordan Kyrou goal, McKinnon dumps it into the corner. It goes behind the net. Jordan Binnington goes out, plays it around the wall to, I think it was Buchnevich maybe, got it to O'Reilly, to Kyrou. Boom, it's in the back of the net. Great play. And that's one of the reasons Binnington is better at puck handling than Villajuso was, so he can do those things. The second play was, while Colorado was shorthanded, they attacked the net He gets bumped, draws the penalty to put St. Louis on a 5-on-3. David Perron with the one-timer at the very end of the second period. So two plays that don't have anything with stopping the puck that actually made a big difference in the way this game turned out.
Blues took the timeout. It paid off with the power play goal. Ryan O'Reilly's got a 6-game point streak. He's been terrific. And if you're talking stats, just to put a bow on Florida, Tampa, Ross Colton leads the Lightning right now with 5 goals. And don't look now, but Andrei Vasilevsky leads the playoffs and wins with 6. What happens tonight? Speaking of goaltending, Calgary, Edmonton.
Well, I think this one is actually easier for Mike Smith to recover from because he could say, I played bad, I move on, right? And Markstrom, so... Look, I don't think we're going to get 9-6, but I think we could definitely get 6-3, 5-3. I think it's still going to be a higher scoring type game. And the Rangers, now, Panarin said today, it's playoff hockey, and I can't do the same stuff at the blue line that I want to do because I'm not allowed to or whatnot. I actually would say to Panarin, you don't have to be risky at the blue line. Just play hard because his back check in game one on the Aho tying goal was not great. And they need Panarin to be better. He scored the game-winning goal against Pittsburgh in the game 7 overtime, but he's not been good in these playoffs. So I say start worrying about doing all this stuff at the blue line and worry about the rest of the game.
Both road teams won last night. Who wins tonight?
I am going to go with Calgary winning again at home. I'm going to give the Rangers a chance to surprise Carolina for their first home loss these playoffs.
Columbus is staying with Korpisalo as their second option in goal. They give him a 1-year extension. And the podcast is out with Billy Jaffe this week. How would you tease that as we say goodbye for the weekend?
Billy Jaffe, lots of off the ice stories.
Very well said. And maybe some swearing in our teases, which was kind of fun too. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.